You might turn to Jeremiah, the 42nd chapter and verse 3, for a clue to what I want to say. And this is one of the major stumbling blocks, probably for all of us. And it has to do with the fact that God is going to tell us how to live. And this is something that we all rebel at. And maybe it's because Mom and Dad told us how to live from the start, and we got a little tired of it. We all like to exercise our own authority and our own personality. And so by the time we get on our own, we want to govern and rule our own lives, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Now, God intends to rule, and God intends to have his say. He's going to speak his peace. He's going to tell us how we should live. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, in verses 5 and 6, you'll see an extension of this thought, how that God is going to bear down on any and all who want entrance into that kingdom. Indeed, he's going to guide and direct. Indeed, he's going to discipline, as would a loving parent with a child. And so God has said that those who trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, as Christian brethren and sisters, we seek diligently the way of the Lord, and we wonder what his will is and what he wants and how he wants us to live. We have found the narrow way when this is our choice. Now, in the scripture that we read in the Gospel of Luke and also in Matthew chapter 21, this ruler came to Jesus and wanted to know how he could gain eternal life. And the answer was that he should keep the commandments. And he said, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, if you would be perfect, go and sell all that you have and follow him. How many people desire to be perfect? How many people desire to divorce themselves of what they have and follow Jesus? The opening text, which was read this morning, it was a simple one. And yet it has in it the grain of truth that perhaps would save us all. How that Levi, hearing the call of the Master, left all and followed him. Now, this in simple essence is what you and I do. And this is why so many will not be in God's kingdom. First of all, we don't want God telling us how to live. And secondly, it's too binding to be perfect. Well, besides this, we'll use other texts as well, but Jesus would tell us that the way into God's kingdom is narrow because man has problems. Maybe you hadn't thought of it this way before, but we all have problems that prevent our devotion to serving God. I'll mention these texts, and if you would like to jot them down or look them up, we welcome you to do so. The first one is Psalm 39:6, where God says, man is a vain show. He fluffs himself up, and he spends his time going here and there and getting gain. And when it's all over, he dies, and he leaves what he has, and his fame, his name, everything that he accomplished in this lifetime, leaves it to someone else. And he doesn't even know who's going to get those things. And so there's the vain show, the person who is filled with pride and therefore cannot really trust God. This too is recorded in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 31, how the individual does not trust that God will take care of him. And Jesus points out here the flowers of the field, how beautiful they are. And the birds of the air, how God takes care of them. And then he said, oh, ye of little faith. And so we have this problem of trusting God. It's essential that we trust God to gain entrance into his kingdom. We generally speak of it in another sense, and that is we use the word faith. But trust is essential for one to enter into the kingdom of God. And then you'll recall, recorded in Matthew 13, verses 7 and 22, concerning the parable of the sower, how that the sower went forth to sow the seed, and there were many things that happened to that seed, but one of the things that happened was that some of the seed was choked up by thorns and thistles, by the weeds that came into the field, and he likened this unto the Christian experience, that a person's spiritual life is often choked to death before it even gets a start. And what does he say there, if my memory serves me right, but the cares of this world, the pleasures, the deceitfulness of riches, if we permit these things in our lives, we can be sure that our spiritual lives are going to be choked to death. Well, then there's the experience of Mary and Martha, how that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was busy in the kitchen, attending the pots and the pans and serving the guests, and finally she blew her cork. She got angry, and she went to Jesus, and she said, Master, don't you care that I'm out in the kitchen doing all this work, and here Mary's sitting there just doing nothing? And he said, Martha, Martha, there are some things that are needful. And there's one thing that is needful, and Mary has chosen that thing. And so it is that the kingdom of God is difficult to enter because of the problems that you and I have. We're busy with so many things. We have so many projects. There are so many things that are important to us. But there's only one thing that's needful. There's only one thing that's important. And this is our devotion to God and our faith in the kingdom of God. Well, there are other things that are mentioned. Jesus mentioned some of them. Other people mentioned these things. But we have problems that stand in our way. Natural, sinful self standing in the way of entrance into the kingdom of God. There's the person who neglects to prepare, said Jesus. There's the person like the man who had such wonderful crops that he tore down his barns and built bigger. He's working for prosperity. He's not working for an entrance into God's kingdom. So we all have some kind of problem, said Jesus, that will prevent us, or at least hinder us, from being in his kingdom. Now, Jesus said some other important things about the kingdom of God. I'd like to have you turn with us now to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter and verse 44. This is kind of a fascinating parable or idea that Jesus presented. He said the kingdom of God is like a treasure. And this treasure was one that was of great value. So he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Well, I can recall some stories, I don't know whether it's on radio or television or what, about the person who found oil, discovered oil in a field, so he didn't say anything to anybody about it, but went out and bought that field. And then was the discovery of oil, or some other thing of great value, maybe a gravel pit or some kind of ore or something. He kept his mouth shut until he was able to buy that piece of land. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a treasure in a field that a person finds. And he doesn't say a thing until he gets it for his own. This is on his mind. This is what he's working for, living for. And in his excitement, he goes and sells all that he has and buys this field. Well, it's like this pearl merchant who discovered this great pearl in the field. And he sold everything that he had to gain this pearl, possession of it. Now, the meaning here is clear. And when we couple this thought with what Jesus first mentioned about how difficult it is for many people to enter God's kingdom, then we understand what he's saying. We mentioned the fact that the ruler wasn't willing to give up all that he had to follow. And now we see the excitement that one has when he or she finds the gem, the jewel of entrance into the kingdom of God, willing to sell all that they have to gain entrance. Are you questioning in your own mind, as I am standing before you, have I really done that? Have I really divorced myself from all that would hinder my entrance into the kingdom? And have I realized the excitement that there is in knowing Jesus as Savior, the excitement of knowing that God has planned eternity here on this earth, and that I can be a part of it? Well, the point we're getting at now from what Jesus said when he talked about the kingdom is that he said that some even have left all that they had. So great is the kingdom of God. And so, as we have mentioned, Levi, when he heard the call of Jesus, left all and followed him. Tax collector, person known for his cheating, a person who had to have a complete revival in his life, a complete cleansing, saw that what he was doing and the way he was living was inferior to what Jesus Christ had to offer. And this is the essence of our belief in the kingdom of God and the coming of Jesus Christ, is the fact that all else is as nothing. Nothing else is worthwhile in the sight of Jesus Christ and the promise of the kingdom. And as Levi left all and followed Jesus, and as the 12 left all and followed Jesus, you and I too must leave all and follow him. In Luke 14 and verse 33, in fact, Jesus says that this is the price of discipleship. God in his grace has given us salvation. But there is a price that Jesus Christ paid for this salvation. And all who would live godly will suffer. And all who will follow Jesus Christ will walk in his footsteps and will indeed pay the price of discipleship. You'll find this in Luke, the 14th chapter, and verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I'm just simply astonished at that remark. And really, it threatens my life. He cannot be my disciple. How grave are some of the things that Jesus has said? If a person wants to follow him, if a person wants to be in his kingdom, he said we must forsake all and be his disciple. How narrow is the way, and yet how blessed is this way that we have been called. Now, if a person gives up all that they have, the question naturally arises, what will they have left? And this is where so many people trip up, not willing to let go of what they have to gain what they do not have. And this was on the mind of Peter. You'll find this recorded in Luke 18 and verse 28, where Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting." Now, these benefits do not come to us until we leave all. If we've left part, we're blessed in part. If we have not given ourselves completely to Christ, then Christ does not bless us completely. And so this perhaps is where we fail to see all these blessings that God would bring. But you and I are called to follow and to leave all for the kingdom of God's sake. Now, Jesus had some other things to say about the kingdom. One interesting one is found in Luke, the 9th chapter, and verse 62, where he said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I've often thought about this. No farmer is worthy to be called a farmer if he's sitting on his tractor and plowing up the field and looking backwards. And I do marvel at the straightness of their rows and their furrows and so on. I'm sure I couldn't do half as well. And so it is. When Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, he's saying no one will be in God's kingdom who doesn't want to be there. No one will be in God's kingdom who is not anticipating it, who is not looking forward to it. The person who is sitting on the seat of the tractor and looking backward is not going to be in God's kingdom, according to what Jesus is saying. He's saying the person who will be in God's kingdom is the one who is looking forward to being there. He also said that many are called and few are chosen. Now let's look at another text or two closely in Luke, the 13th chapter, and verse 24. He said, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate." He is saying, in my language, work at it. Let's give it a try. If it's the most desirable thing in the world, if it's the most important thing in the world to us, we're going to work at it. We're going to strive. We're going to give it a good try. We're not going to be half asleep or disinterested or follow Jesus when we want to. He's saying, really give it a try. And this is one of the keys, I believe, to being in God's kingdom, is to really give it a try and to make it 100% of what we are and what we have. He says there are many who will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, I'll leave this to your own conjecture. Why won't most people, or many people who want to be in God's kingdom, be there? Why are they denied? Could it be on the basis of the very things that we have been reading you this morning from the words of Jesus himself? And I believe here that he is telling us to work hard to gain entrance into his kingdom. On Revelation, the 3rd chapter and verse 4, we have a picture there of some who have suffered for the cause of Christ Jesus. And a comment is made, "Worthy are they to walk with Christ." Now, what makes us worthy of Christ? Not our goodness. Really, not our devotion. And this is an astounding fact. It appears to be our willingness to suffer with him. There are many, many texts that talk about our suffering with Jesus. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. I'm sorry, I misquoted that, didn't I? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Well, I ask myself, I've had an interesting week, I've had a good week, and as you perhaps talked maybe somewhat about the Bible to someone, but nothing sensational, I couldn't say as I stand before you this morning and be honest that I have really worked hard to get in God's kingdom this past week, or that I've suffered much for the name and cause of Jesus Christ. So I wonder, will I be in God's kingdom? Perhaps that's too negative a thought for you this morning, but at least it's something for us to consider. Let's look at another text in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse 29. Now, of course, we have have left the words of Jesus and gone to another speaker or writer in the Apostle Paul, but he, being inspired of God, has some words of wisdom for us. And he said that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now Paul is backing up the words of Jesus. As Jesus said, to strive to enter or work at it, now the apostle is also saying that we should strive for the mastery. It's not enough for us just to want to be inside the door of the kingdom, or to say, I'll be satisfied with the lowest position, or I'll be satisfied if I'm just saved. This isn't the thought or the intent of the Scripture. The intent of the Scripture is that we master the Christian way of life and that we become as Jesus. So the apostle said, strive for the mastery. Win. Not just draw or perhaps lose, but he said, deny yourself many things. Run straight to the goal. He said, I fight to win, not shadow boxing or playing. Now this again is strong language. And there are two things that I'd like to point out there. He said that a person should run straight to the goal. Oftentimes the person who runs straight to the goal is the one who wins, who cuts aside, lays aside everything else, who doesn't get lost, who isn't distracted by other things. He is the individual who wins. Not everyone will be in God's kingdom. So it behooves you and I to strive to master this thing and to go straight to the goal of being in God's kingdom. I'd like to leave you with a text to ponder in the book of Colossians, and the first verse. Perhaps we should have just spent our time talking to you about this verse. This is so potent a verse. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. He is saying that the Spirit of God is working in him. Everything that he accomplishes is the result of God telling him what to do, guiding him, strengthening him, supplying his every need that he has. And he says he labors at this, he works at it, and it is according to Christ's mighty energy at work in him. I want to leave you with this thought. I believe that those who will be in God's kingdom are those who are having and recognizing Christ's mighty energy working in them. Not denying the force, not being absent when the force calls, but laboring, striving, working with Christ for the purpose of entering the kingdom of God. Not just a selfish thing. Let's restate that. Laboring, striving, working, giving of ourselves that others might gain entrance into the kingdom of God. We thank God that Jesus was inspired to talk to us about the kingdom of God and to tell us bluntly and pointedly that only those who desire to be in his kingdom will be there, and that only those who will indeed leave all and follow him and be a disciple will be in God's kingdom. God grant us that each of us will find this place in his kingdom.